Hi.
Blog Talk Radio.
And good evening. Welcome to another session of the New Africa Business Association Blog Talk Radio. I am your host, Bilal Masadiq Bynum, and this is the New Africa Business Association Blog Talk Radio of Washington, D.C. We welcome you to tonight's show, and we will be right back with tonight's show, giving our audience a chance to call in. And those of you who would like to call in this evening, our call-in number is 657-383-1372. So giving you a second to share this with friends, 657-383-1372. And, of course, internet would be blogtalkradio.com/NABASSC/URL. Again, that internet would be blogtalkradio.com/NABASSC/URL. So, again, we welcome all of our listeners and to our this session of the New Africa Business Association, and we'll be right back with the night's program right after we do a quick sponsor.
Natural Skincare by Karima with Shea Butter. We offer a great selection of 100% all-natural moisturizing creams for the face and body without preservatives. Also, check out our hair products. Order online and get them delivered to your home. Check out our new online shop at www.etsy.com. Search for Natural Skincare by KHB. For more information, visit us online at www.naturalskincarebykarima.com or email us at naturalskincarebykarima@gmail.com. Give us a call at 301-534-4475 or fax us at 240-318-3537. Try out our newest product, our Peppermint Foot Rub, for a luxurious feeling your feet won't forget.
From the Quran, inshallah, from Surah Taha.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Hi. حديث موسى إذ رأى نارا فقال لأهلهم كثوا إني آنست نارا لعلي آتيكم منها بقبس أو أجد على النار هدى فلما أتاها نودي يا موسى إني أنا ربك فاخلع نعليك إنك بالوادي المقدس طوى وأنا اخترتك فاستمع لما يوحى إنني أنا الله لا إله إلا أنا فاعبدني وأقم الصلاة لذكري إن الساعة آتية أكاد أخفيها لتجزى كل نفس بما تسعى فلا يصدنك عنها من لا يؤمن بها واتبع هواه فتردى صدق الله العظيم.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والصلاة والسلام على خير المرسلين وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. The sight from here is more beautiful than the sight you're looking at. But bismillah, it's on behalf of Zaytuna College, myself, Dr. Hatem Bazian, the provost, Imam Zayd Shaker, Sheikh Hamza Youssef, who's unable to be here today, our board, and all of members of the college. This is such an important occasion and a conference to have here at Zaytuna at this particular time in our history. Really, we have to express gratitude to you for being the pioneer of Islam in America. And often we don't think about the turns of history and how history manifests itself. And without looking at the contribution of Elijah Muhammad, Waris al-Din Muhammad, and the struggle that were taking place from really the early part of the 20th century all the way today without actually even looking before from 1492 onward, Islam in this country would not be in the place that it is today without that major contribution. And I think there is a reason, if you think about the history of this country after the Civil War, what is called the Reconstruction, which most likely for the African-American community, it was the destruction, because that gets into the migration from the South to the North, the height of the lynching that takes place from 1876 to 1950, close to 4,000 lynchings that occur. And lynching has to be understood as the structured terrorizing of African-Americans to contest their political, economic, social, and religious empowerment after the gains that took place in the Civil War. And it seems that still till today we're still fighting the Civil War because people don't realize that they lost, so they're trying to use other instruments to actually maintain their structure and position of power. Being myself as an immigrant in here, I'm directly beneficiary of the struggles that have been fought before, because without the Civil Rights Act, without the Immigration Rights Act, without the Voting Rights Act, many of us who arrived in this country would not have been possible. Actually, we are standing on your shoulders that made it possible for us to enter and to struggle in this country. Unfortunately, many people who try to examine both the history of Islam in America prior to the 1960s or looking at the long history of Islam in America, they tend to think only through theological terms, meaning that the only way they understand things from, which is again, I'm not saying that this is not a valid way, but they evaluate things strictly from a theological and legalistic perspective. History does not move in that direction in totality. It's complex. That even theology moves through the complexity of history, and that's why history, including Islamic history, Islamic law, is born out of the social conditions. In the Quran itself, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to the Prophet, يَسْأَلُونَكَ, they ask you, and then the response comes, meaning that the revelation is directly, intimately connected to the questions and the challenges that people are facing. And I think in a similar way, while we are firmly founded upon our theology, our Islamic law, our Quranic revelation, hadith, no one can challenge that pillar. At the same time, we have to engage in research, academically speaking, from ethnic studies, from sociology, from political science, from economics, in order to appreciate what people have accomplished under the most difficult conditions. I study Islamophobia today. Islamophobia is child's play compared to what the African Americans face in this country. And this is not to downplay what we are facing, right? That what was faced in this country to actually give birth to Islam in here at this particular time is monumental struggle. And the challenge for us is to actually understand, study that period, document it systematically, engage it systematically, in order for us to hand our legacy to the next generation. I am confident that Islam is here to stay. Why? Not because somebody sitting in the White House thinks that they could push the clock back. The clock is moving because we're working with Allah's clock, not the clock that is dysfunctional. So just from just the longest lens, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam came in Mecca, and now you go any place in the world, you find Islam in there. You cross, if you even can swim to Hawaii, there are Muslims in Hawaii today, right? Even though that the birther movement claims that Obama is a Muslim. If you want to take him, alhamdulillah, it's God's veracity, right? And this is a fulfillment of Allah's promise, وَرَفَعْنَا لَكَ ذِكْرَكَ, that we have exalted your fame. So if we make our concern the one, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, nothing can stand in our way, even as we face the struggles that are in front of us. And I think in here, the challenge for us is how to build our communities, because we have many communities. And I always look at the Ansar and the Muhajirin, which is our narrative, the helpers and the migrants, right? That if we could come back together and understand the challenges in front of us, nothing can stand in our way, in the same way that the early community transformed history. So really, from the bottom of my heart, I express my gratitude for you. This is your home, even though that has some titles to it, this is your home, and every time that you want to do something, you're welcome in here, because this is what a university and a college makes it possible for us to come together, to actually look at our history, look at our present, and hopefully the next generation that we graduate in here will understand their legacy, because if you don't understand your history, you don't know where you're going. So thank you, and welcome to Zaytuna College. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, alhamdulillah, rabbil alameen, wa salatu wa salam ala sayyidi al-mursaleen. Sayyidina Muhammad wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallim tasliman kathira. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I'd like to just reiterate, I'm Imam Zaid Shakir, one of the co-founders of the college here, the great honor from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be part of this effort. And we say, if you don't believe in miracles, just come here for about a week and you'll see 10 or 12 miracles during the course of that week. So you are now officially a part of a miracle. I'd just like to reiterate what Dr. Hatem said in welcoming everyone here on behalf of the college, faculty, staff, students, trustees, donors, and everyone who's worked so hard to make this reality possible. We thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for that. We thank Allah for all of you coming out to really be part of what one sister mentioned today in a brief conversation earlier this morning, part of an event that is long overdue. That is long overdue. I'd like to just build on what Dr. Hatem mentioned in terms of the historical reality that's unfolding, but going back a lot further. Those of us of African descent are part of a larger, a wider world that extends beyond the shores of the United States of America. We're part of a world that some historians and scholars describe as the Black Atlantic, which is the reality created by the diaspora of African peoples as a result of the North Atlantic slave trade. That reality extends from the west coast of Africa into the Caribbean and the south of the southern coast and eastern coast of the United States, what is now the United States, it precedes the United States, and then across the ocean to Great Britain, was described as the triangular slave trade. And Muslims have always been a part of that reality. It's not just an African reality, it's an African Muslim reality. And the proof of that is that one of the few individuals whose life was informed by all three pegs of that triangle, Africa, Caribbean, Southern and Eastern United States, and Great Britain, was Ayyub bin Sulaiman, the fortunate slave, Job bin Solomon, who was taken from West Africa and then came into the eastern United States, into Annapolis, Maryland, and then a plantation in Kent County, Maryland, and miraculously finds himself in England. And in England, he is so impressive, he gains an audience eventually with the Queen. He's debating the Anglican priests and the scholars at Cambridge and Oxford after learning English in 6 weeks as he sailed across the Atlantic, and then he goes back to Africa. So this whole circuit was traversed by him. And that reality, even though Islam died out in a sense with the end of the slave trade, Islam revived, and Islam was a source of hope, and that source of hope was identified by Edward Blyden. Most of you know about his life and times. We can move beyond the debate, did Blyden become a Muslim or not, but what he did do through his writings and his thought, he elevated the stature of Islam as a possible way to unify the disparate elements of African people in this diaspora. So Islam became a source of salvation, a source of unity, and it became something that intellectuals in our community looked upon very favorably. Eventually, that consciousness manifested itself in actual movements, such as the movement of the Moorish Science Temple under the leadership of Noble Drew Ali, beginning in 1913 in Newark, New Jersey. That Islam had an influence on one of the most powerful movements that was cut short only by the machinations of the United States government, the United Negro Improvement Association, under the leadership of Marcus Garvey, that itself gave birth to the parents of Malcolm X, Earl and Louise Little, Earl Little being a very prominent activist and organizer for the UNIA, and Louise Little being one of the principal writers in their newspaper. So Malcolm grew up in that house of consciousness. But Marcus Garvey, who was his mentor? And Marcus Garvey, again, illustrates part of this wider Black Atlantic. Marcus Garvey goes from Jamaica to London. In London, he's mentored by Dusse Muhammad, who comes from Egypt to London.
Duse Muhammad then, after mentoring Marcus Garvey, and Garvey comes to Harlem and starts the UNIA, Duse Muhammad goes to Detroit and starts a Muslim movement in Detroit that unifies all of the Muslims in Detroit under the leadership of an African, then African-American, Duse Muhammad. He unifies the Iraqi Shia, the Iraqi Sunni, the Lebanese Shia, the Lebanese Sunni. He unifies all of those communities with the African-American converts and a few Caucasian converts, and they start the Universal Muslim Association in Detroit in the 1920s. So the influences are there. And then we get, out of Detroit, the emergence of the Nation of Islam. It becomes a very powerful movement, more powerful than all the others. And a lot of people have a part to play in that, beginning with Fard Muhammad and then Elijah Muhammad, who, of course, has the most prominent part. And then bringing in protégés, or like Malcolm X. And Malcolm, of course, has a very prominent part in popularizing that movement. And the movement touches every corner of the African-American community. And people see that movement as a positive force. So I have my mother's book here. I just want to relate something very quickly. I know I have 5 minutes left. And Sister Fitra Muhammad is unforgiving. But she says just something in passing. This is her journal. She says, you wouldn't believe the strange bedfellows that inhabit my bedroom on the nightstand. Muhammad speaks. The Muslim newspaper, Awake, the Jehovah Witness booklet, The Power of Positive Thinking, and the New Testament. What does she mention first? Muhammad speaks. Because there is one reality in our community. We're going to give you a cultural literacy test right now. Shoe, shoe, shine used to cost a dime. A penny could buy you. A nickel was a fare. Take you anywhere. Troubles, you didn't have any. And what could you get for 25 cents? A copy of Muhammad Speaks. All right. So our protein came from the fish that was sold by the fish force. Right? Whiting, H and G. Where'd it come from? Straight from the sea. Imported from Peru. Just for you. That was our protein. Those brothers all throughout the neighborhood. So she says later on, in terms of just how ordinary people, she's just an ordinary lady struggling to raise 7 children by herself. I guess she was extraordinary in that sense. She says, dear self, that's how she prefixed her journal entries. Now I must talk softly and sadly with you for a little while. Today at 1 o'clock, an 18-year-old black youth I knew was buried. Self is so sad, so sad. He seemed like such a promising young man, and now he's gone forever. Just when life should be beginning for him, it ended. He had had some problems in school and the community in his early teens. He was a thug. Then he started going to the Muslim temple, and a great change for the better came over him. He sold the Muslim paper, Muhammad Speaks. That's how I got on a nightstand. Quietly and politely, often leaving us a fee copy when I didn't have a quarter. And he went back to school and graduated this year. Then he got a job. The last time I saw him, he came. He had come to our home to give Donna, my oldest sister, Steve, her husband, and I a ride to the temple. I'm in sympathy, admittedly, I'm in sympathy with many of the concepts of their ideology, but I can never worship Muhammad as my God. Anyway, that Sunday he came to pick us up, but Donna and Steve were still in bed, so I didn't go. I looked out the window as he walked back to his car. How nice and clean he looked in his burgundy dress jacket and checkered trousers. How proudly he walked. He looked like a man, big, tall, and strong, and he walked like a man, placing his footsteps firmly as if he knew where he was going. and the Muslims, he had found the key to unlock the door to his true black manhood. That's what the Nation of Islam did. You could critique the theology. Most people didn't believe in it. I'm going to continue on a personal note. My wife came through the first resurrection. She caught the tail end, 1974, 1975, temple number 7 in Harlem. She was in the vanguards, and she sold more newspaper than papers than most of the brothers. She said she had a job. She was going to these nursing homes, taking care of people, and she had a big stack of papers, and she was selling the papers through the people in the nursing homes. I came in through the second resurrection under the leadership of Imam Warthi Deen Muhammad, and I have my I Am a Bilalian T-shirt that I used to wear. And we were selling the AM journal and the Bilalian news like it was Muhammad speaks. Because, you know, from that we thought that's what Muslims did. So we was all over the place. Then we told the brothers, we need to sell this in the white neighborhood. We were in Shreveport, Louisiana. They said, you're crazy. So we had limited circulation. So I can say firsthand, I witnessed the power of the Nation of Islam amongst my friends. I saw thugs become men. I saw people with no direction gain a direction. And I witnessed the second resurrection personally, and I saw people who had the strength and the courage and the vision to abandon the old teaching that half of them didn't even believe in. I asked my wife. She never thought the white man was the devil. She never thought there was a mothership coming and all of that, but she did believe in the power of community. And she did believe in the power of human transformation and reformation. And she did believe in the power of cultivating a vision that we do not have to continue to be slaves and quasi-slaves or dehumanized people in this black Atlantic reality, that we can remake the world and we can do for self. And we can clean ourselves up. And we don't need any social programs or welfare, anything else from the government to do that. We can do it ourselves. She and hundreds of thousands of others believed in that in spite of the theology. And these are things that we're going to be talking about today. We're not talking about theology. We're not talking about fine points of Aqidah and where they differ or... We're not talking even about the theological aspects of the corrective of Imam W.D. Muhammad and his genius and his brilliance. We're talking about the continuity of that vision through these various Islamic iterations and how we, inshallah, and hopefully this gathering today will be a milestone in the beginning of the third resurrection that Dr. Sherman Jackson talked about in his book, Awaiting the Third Resurrection, where we as a community within the context of our wider Islamic world become a self-authenticating community that does not need the authentication or validation of anyone, no matter how Islamic they claim to be, because we ourselves are Muslims with our own Muslim history, and it is in the context of that history that we authenticate ourselves and that we validate ourselves, and then that we join with the wider community as equal partners in transforming this country, inshallah. Salaam alaikum.
Not used to looking down on people. This is kind of different for me. And knowing the ways of the prophet, he used to always be on the level of the people. But this is what it is, and we thank Allah for it. And I thank the imam when he came into office. He said, when he wanted to talk, he said, just put me on the floor, because I want to be right down there with the people. We still are. With God's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer, thank you, the administration of this college here. It's a wonderful occasion for us. I feel very special in to know that it was a sister who coordinated it. That's my dear sister, Fitra. Everybody knows for a long way. So now I understand when the prophet said, paradise lies at the feet of the mother. It means that we should respect them and honor them. And that's what we're doing today with you, Sister Petra. Thank you. And the professors, for you all for honoring us, our presence here, along with my wife, Gloria Kareem. I thought it was most proper for this that give you a little background, but maybe 30 seconds of myself, that I was, information that I give out is really in me, and I could put this paper down and just start talking because it's my life, it's me, and but for sake and ordinary, I appreciate the timing and thing that's very important at this time. So having said that, I was born, I'm Daniel Kareem. I was born in the Nation of Islam when it was in its infancy. My life experience with the family of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and his wife, Sister Clara, his mother, their father, Marie and Willie Muhammad, and etc. His dad, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad's dad. When the men, in the early part of the Nation of Islam, when the men were incarcerated in prison for fighting for their freedom of education and et cetera, and the FBI came in and raided our temples, my father, Carl Omar, shared the same cell with Elijah Muhammad in Milan, Michigan, in the early 40s. And my mother, Maggie, would always go with to see him, along with Sister Clara Muhammad, and I rode with him. Matter of fact, I remember the cars. It's a photo of Uric and during the World War II. Having said that, I begin this session with that in this in mind. I think that the best way to begin this important session is to bring to mind how the Nation of Islam formed. What brought this movement into existence, that it was so powerful that it began to attract thousands of African-Americans to it. What means that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, his works and mission so relevant? What was it about his works that's so relevant during his lifetime, yet so relevant today? How was he able to plant a seed in the souls of a people, causing their intellect to become alive and excel and ignited to the rise again of saying self-worthiness? We believe that his leadership was very timely in helping the African-American people to regain their true identity, a higher degree of human worth. You will see in this conference that the image of Islam in America rose up because of the popularization of hearing the words that we'd never heard before in America, and that was Muslim and Islam. In the context of religion, the glory in our history as a people before coming to America was Islam and Muslim. And you will find among the great nations or kingdoms or continent of Africa were Muslim nations. We look back again. What brought it about, the Nation of Islam, was a man from India, now known as Pakistan, had an interest and a love for African-American people. After studying the history of his own country, he recognized the treatment of people that was being treated very similar to which was done in his own country. So we will see the forming of the Nation of Islam was to give identity of a people, a new place in community life, or people who had felt they had a place, they had no place, pardon me, in the world society of a people who had been rejected by the world society, a people who had no identity that they could even be comfortable with world society and be among them. Where did this get this spirit from, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad get this spirit from? And how did he begin giving the African-American people a new hope for the future? His name is W.D. Farrar Muhammad. He is known by many names, as we know. He created a language that brought about curiosity to the minds of the African-American people as a people, as we may call it, a mystic, esoteric terminology that he had created. And to us, this terminology seemed so real, a means of awakening back what was lost during the time of slavery, the origin of our true identity as a people. When we study the history of and the strategy with the African-American people, who would come to the conclusion that Mr. Farrar, his language, that he had his student, it inspired his student, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, to a certain point that it caused a change in Elijah Muhammad's thinking. Therefore, a point he felt that the need to rescue, now he had a feeling to rescue his people, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. Elijah Muhammad became outstanding student and followed W.D. Farrar as a result of that. So he was chosen to be the leader of the Nation of Islam. Elijah once said that technology was needed most now with which to build upon self, where the image of women in the world was degraded, and we believe that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad was the one who set the example of the world of how it is important to respect the women. This was during a time that we had no knowledge of Islam as we know it today. There was a continuous flow of language that made the African American feel proud of themselves, terms that we would never use in society today. And what was those terms? But it was what was those terms? Those terms was used to kind of like contain and keep us alive and feel self-worth. Terms like what? The weight of the earth. 1,037 one-third miles, six hectare tons. That's how much earth weighed. Water, 1,037, no, the earth travels, every planet travels 1,037 and one-third miles per hour. See, you remember that. I got bad witnesses here. When we start using that language, it says, oh, my God, this is wonderful. 57 million miles, I think, at the end of land. So we start using all these terms, and we just got excited to build up what? Our self-worth. So Elijah Muhammad knew that education was the main tool for freeing society. He knew that. This ignited his soul, and he transformed it into his people, and many began to say, I'm black and I'm proud that I am somebody. And from that became many well-known leaders that brought about the civil rights movement. He saw the value of the language of the Quran, the language. He saw that his people could have a better understanding of the religion and the Quran. So he hired an Arabic teacher, Professor Jamil Diab from Azhar University. I, myself, Gloria, Imam W.D. Muhammad, his brother Dr. Akbar, and etc., we all became the first students of this first class, and he stayed with us for over 10 years. The social change that that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad made would have showed which what it did. It mobilized the masses, giving excitement and igniting the worth of the people. He became the face of the movement, as well as the soul that was affected mostly, the soul. Today, still, the symptoms remain in the souls of the people. However, that movement never interfered with the continued support of the pioneers, who was the heart of the community, and they had the spirit always of live to give. He was the one who gave economic programs where he inspired the people to become independent, business-minded, with an architectural designing of his whole plan. He saw that his vision was very much Islamic, with a vision of community life. The most famous quote was, as we remember, do for self. We were taught, what is yourself? Yourself, your own self is a righteous Muslim. What is a righteous Muslim? One who follows God's guidance, not the guidance of the world that offers, that the world offers. However, we follow God's guidance. And in this way, no one would ever be able to take advantage of us. So this spirit of saying self-worth and saying our own self is a righteous Muslim kept us moving. Moving forward with this, to understand the strategy, as I said before, of the African-American people in finding out who they was, we have to make this one note that we hear so much of saying that when we was converted to mainstream Islam, well, we'll set the record straight today, we was never converted to Islam. What we did, we returned to what was taken from us. In order to be prepared for a new world, at the same time, teachings of the Quran was preserved for the future. As we move forward to the conclusion of this presentation, I'd like to say this. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad prepared us for our next level, advance of our identity so that we can reach to our destiny. We ask, how was he able to accomplish so much with people who had lost it all? A man who had only a third grade formal education. We hope that this conference will change the image of this most powerful reformer, a man whose vision, he had a vision of change, and a change that became relevant to a changing world yet consistent with time. What brought about a traditional change that produced leaders in all fields of education, business, science, and etc.? What brought this about in this transitional change? We believe the making of this community, the Nation of Islam, that brought about change of Islam in America was a divine revelation and a divine intervention, pardon me, that a new leader with a new language clarifying misconceptions in the Nation of Islam, and that he would be taught by God himself, because we knew that the Honorable Muhammad was taught by a man. But he said the next leader would be taught by God. His son, who was envisioned by W.D. Farrar, would come and help his father, and he had the ability to change and use the dialect of the common man and to be able to understand the Quranic language, and they began to regain and understand the religion in its right today. In doing so, he found that the first change that he had to do was what? He had to change the idea of God and prophet. Peace be upon him. Dear brothers and sisters, there's a word that is used in Arabic language, and it's called, in the Quran, God says, and we didn't miss a thing when the revelation was revealed to Muhammad the prophet, and it's called furuta. Furuta. And I would say the same thing with Imam W.D. Muhammad for 30 years. I think he furuta, the mystic language of W.D. Farrar. He covered it all. So we encourage you to study our history and listen to these qualified, powerful panelists that will come before you today, God willing. Our qualified panelists will give you more details and information on this growing community, the Nation of Islam. I'll leave with you some quotes from the Quran and from the Constitution of the United States of America. God was first, and we wish to be grateful to those who were being depressed in the land and to make leaders. Thus have we made you an ummah justly balanced. It's called Ummatul Wasata, that you might be witnesses over the nations and messenger witnesses over yourselves. Muhammad, peace be upon him, was guided by God to establish spirituality life and a life of betterment for society, so that society could exist and have a good future and progress in the land of progress that God created himself.
Yes, but
in the Constitution, it says, we hold to be self-evident that all men are created and that they are endowed by the Creator with certain inalienable rights, that among them are the pursuit of happiness, that all men are created equal, and the pursuit of happiness, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. The pursuit of happiness, pardon me. This is the Constitution of the United States that was influenced by the Quran. So what am I saying in my conclusion of this? We believe the following verses from the Quran shows us how God can raise a people without the aid of man, as an example to the world that this development of the Nation of Islam to where it is today are now among the leaders in the world, and it was done by God himself. So I say to you, my brothers and sisters, with peace. And Imam W.D. Muhammad, they brought it about. Thank you.
Sounding like brothers and sisters, you just heard part.
Yeah, hold on, this is radio.
I am your host, Bilal Masadiq Bynum. I think we have our co-host on with us. Brother Abdu, are you with us?
Assalamu alaikum, Brother Bilal. Yes, I am. And I also have here with me Brother Suleiman Basim Akbar, my brother.
Oh, yes. Long time since we heard from that brother. How's the both of you?
Assalamu alaikum. How you doing?
Just give me 1 second. We're going to cut this off because we're going to play part two next week. Be right back with your brothers in just a second. Give me just a second.
All right.
This is a blog radio show.
Yeah,
thousands of people listen.
Technology.
Yeah, technology.
Hey, y'all
can pass
me. I'm
going to sleep. Monty, this is a blog radio show that's on now.
Who's that?
It's a blog radio
Bilal.
Show.
She know Bilal. Don't you know Bilal?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, business.
Okay,
yeah, yes.
Welcome back.
I'm into the Toastmasters too.
You ever been on that?
Oh, yeah. Every Wednesday. From 7 to 8 o'clock Eastern Standard Time.
Was Mark down there at some point?
No. Yeah, he was recording. Exactly.
Assalamu alaikum, Brother Bilal. This is Suleiman.
All of you guys on the air, so the entire country is hearing everything you're saying. So a great greeting.
Yes. Very glad to be with you this evening and your listening audience. Alhamdulillah for the information that you guys are putting out. As always, I give you guys this feather in your cap, the excellence of the programming and the need that it provides to the people is great, brother. Please continue to keep on doing what you guys are doing.
Well, again, Inshallah, thanks so much for the kind words. We definitely could appreciate it, but even more, we definitely could appreciate sponsors. You know, you can sponsor this radio station as a business person, and as a sponsor, we would be advertising your business for an entire month. And so to find out more information on how to become a sponsor, we would ask you to go to the our website, and that would be the NABASSC at gmail.com. NABASSC at gmail.com. That is the New Africa Business Association. New Africa Business Association, and that's the business association here in Washington, D.C. As you know, there are many, many New Africa Business Associations that were started by our late leader, Imam W.D. Muhammad. And these business associations now are located all over the country. So in order to identify with the Washington, D.C. Business Association, you would have to identify the NABASSC .com, but you have to use the URL. The URL, that's what identifies the Washington, D.C. New Africa Business Associations. Without that URL, you could get business associations anywhere from United States throughout the Caribbean, right on throughout all Africa. That's how large the associations have grown since the Imam started us in 2005. And like I said, you just heard part one of the beginning of our history, a contribution to the ministry of Imam W.D. Muhammad, and this contribution was did by no other than his own father, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. So you heard our first resurrection. Next week on the 1st of January, you will hear our final resurrection, or the second resurrection, as the brothers have told me. I'm a member of that second resurrection, so those of you who are close enough to talk to those who was in that first resurrection, they have some very good information to share with you. But the second resurrection and where we're going from here, we will have that program beginning next week. And share it with all of your friends. Our call-in number is every Wednesday from 7 o'clock to 8 o'clock. The call-in number is 657-383-1372. And those of you who would like to participate in our blog radio, you can do that by going on to blogtalkradio.com/NABASSC/URL. I will repeat. blogtalkradio.com/NABASSC/URL. And, of course, I will, inshallah, continue to be your host along with my co-host, Brother Abdu Aziz. He's with his family. And I'm telling you, Brother Aziz, I'm going to give you a few more minutes. We're going to be going off the air, but it's just good to hear from you. And inshallah, be very safe coming home.
Yes, brother Bilal. Thank you very much. I'm down here in Alabama, Fairhope, Alabama, enjoying time with my mom's. Her spirit seemed lifted up. We were glad to share her 91st birthday on December the 17th, and I decided since I did have the time, Allah blessed me to have the time to stay down here past New Year's. My father passed on New Year's Day, so you know, yeah, it's one of them things. You know, you got your mom still around, so you want to be with her at times. So everything has been very good. Allah's been merciful, and I do miss everybody back up there. You, my brother, and your family. Because every time we always have a big event, you know, y'all invite my wife and I over, and you know, we're family. So. Yeah, I miss being right there sharing the Blog Talk Radio show. And
how long are your mother? Make sure you say good to say hello to your auntie. Remember, I haven't forgotten about Mark's wife, my very good friend Mark. Make sure your auntie, if you see her, make sure you give her the greetings for me also. But, man, it's just good to hear from you and your family, and I just pray that Allah will continue to bless you, brother.
Thank you very much, Brother Lyle. We appreciate it. And I sure tell my mother, my brother.
All right. And without further ado, we're going to now come to our closing sessions of the New Africa Business Association. Again, like I said, we look forward to sponsorships, but most of all, we look forward to your continuation in listening to the program, because remember, Brother Aziz and myself, we basically have been doing this program, and as far as the expenses of the program, don't worry about it. We're doing it because we know how important this information is to our community. And again, we ask you and we ask you to share this information, share our call information, share a blog information where one could go to the Internet and participate with us. But every Wednesday from 7 to 8 p.m. And again, that call-in number would be 657-383-1372. Share it with all, and then I am going to say again a season's greetings to everybody, and good night, all of my friends. Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum.
My days have grown so lonely. For you I cry, for you kneel only. Why haven't you seen it? I'm all for you, body and soul. I spend my days in longing. You know it's you that I am longing. Oh, I tell you I mean it. I'm all for you, body and soul. I can't believe it. It's hard to conceive it. That you throw away romance. Are you pretending? It looks like the ending. Unless I can have one more chance to prove, dear, my life a wreck you're making. You know I'm yours for just the taking. Oh, I tell you I mean it. I'm all for you, body and soul. Mm-hmm. more chance to prove this.